Finally, we want to talk about the Obama administration's efforts in Africa. President Obama was awarded the Peace Prize because of his, quote, extraordinary efforts to strengthen international diplomacy and cooperation between peoples, end quote. That's according to the Nobel announcement. Central to those efforts in Africa is a career diplomat, a veteran ambassador named Johnny Carson, now the Assistant Secretary of State for the Bureau of African Affairs. He was sworn in May, and he joins us now for a Newsmaker interview. Welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
There's so much to talk about. I'm not sure we'll get to it all, but we will try. So let's start with your background. You first went to Africa as a Peace Corps volunteer in Tanzania. Do I have that right?
That's correct.
And 1965, what drew you there? Why did you want to go?
The spirit of the Kennedy administration, the desire to respond to the call to ask not what you can do for yourself, but what you can do for your nation.
You then have had a career in the Foreign Service. You previously served as ambassador to Kenya, Zimbabwe, and Uganda. And two of those countries have been very much in the news for political turmoil in the past 2 years. We're going to talk more about that. Let's talk about Kenya. We're coming upon the second anniversary of the disputed election in Kenya, sparked violent protests, claimed more than 1,000 lives. It took months to kind of put together a power-sharing agreement, but the international community is still not satisfied with it. What will it take to achieve stability there? I'm not sure that stability is the only goal, because, you know, you can have stability and repression. But what will it take, in your view?
Compromise and goodwill by Kenya's political leadership and political compromise. Some of that political compromise is underway now, but more of it needs to be done. Kenya needs a new constitution, which allows for the sharing of power between a president and a prime minister. It needs to have power devolve from the center to the provinces, and there needs to be a land reform bill which addresses the issues of conflict over land.
I want to play a short clip from you from an interview we had with Wangari Maathai, who was, of course, a former Nobel laureate, and when we had an opportunity to speak with her earlier in the year about her take on what's going on there. She's also a former Kenyan parliamentarian. I just want to play a short clip of what she had to say.
The international community is doing the right thing. My worry is, how much is expected from the international community short of interfering with the governance of the country for the African leadership to recognize that they have a responsibility to their own people?
Well, President Obama has said Africa's problems are for Africans to take leadership on, but Dr. Maathai seems to be saying that the political leadership is more invested in the status quo or maintaining their power.
I think that the United States and other governments do have a role to play. Sometimes those people who need the most help in a country probably have the least amount of power, the least amount of influence. We fundamentally believe that we do have a role to play, and it's a very useful role to play in trying to encourage reforms that will stop crises or prevent them in the future.
What about Zimbabwe? Not identical, but a similar set of circumstances there. Disputed election ended up resulting in the formation of a unity government between President Robert Mugabe, who many people now believe is functioning as a dictator, and then the Movement for Democratic Change, Morgan Tsvangirai, who's serving as prime minister. A number of actors have tried to play a role here. In fact, in July, you met with Robert Mugabe at an Africa summit in Libya, and afterward he called you an idiot and said that you were a shame being an African-American. Do you see any progress being made there? Why did he call you an idiot, by the way?
Well, Robert Mugabe has enormous control, exercises enormous control in his own country. And because of this, very few people ever talk back to him. And when he is confronted with truth and opposition internally, he can beat that opposition, he can jail that opposition, he can silence that opposition. But when he meets with an American diplomat like myself, there's no way that he can beat me, no way that he can silence me, and no way that he can deny the truth. I encouraged respectfully Robert Mugabe to live up to the political agreement that he signed with Morgan Tsvangirai, to stop the land invasions, to stop the harassment of MDC members of parliament, to stop the censorship of the news, to stop human rights violations that are perpetrated. He, of course, denied that any of this was going on, And when I insisted and gave him proof of it, his reaction was to become very angry. From the outside, I can speak freely, and I do so. If I am a Zimbabwe and on the inside, my comments probably would have landed me in jail, detention, and probably would have gotten me beaten up.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm speaking with Assistant Secretary of State for the Bureau of African Affairs, Johnny Carson. And of course, we cannot let you go without talking about Sudan. This is an area in which a number of Americans have a deep interest. There are those who would argue that we're watching a breakdown of the peace deal that ended more than 20 years of civil war between North and South Sudan. And three top southern leaders were arrested in Khartoum this week for supporting a demonstration for democratic reform. Southern leaders are now saying that they want a break from the North. The two sides don't seem to be able to agree on the ground rules for upcoming elections. And the U.S., of course, was instrumental in getting a peace deal signed in 2005. Is there anything that the U.S. can do to avoid a return or to help this country avoid a return to civil war?
The peace process between North and South has not broken down. We're in the last year and a half of a six-year agreement. And it is incumbent upon all of us in the United States, in Western Europe, but most particularly those in Khartoum and those in Juba, to see that this agreement is fulfilled and that the people of the South are allowed to decide their future, their political future, whether it is as an independent state or as a part of the North.
We have focused a lot on the difficulties and the challenges that Africa is facing. We've talked about political turmoil. We've talked about war. We've talked about all of these things. Are there bright spots that we should be talking about and thinking about?
Absolutely. There is a good news story in Africa, and I think it's frequently overlooked. Last month, the world celebrated the fall of the Berlin Wall some 20 years ago. And many people regard that as a seminal event for East and West Germany and its reunification, a seminal event in Europe. But it was also a particularly important event in Africa because it ended the Cold War conflicts that had created divisions across the continent for so long, in which some states were aligned with the East and some aligned with the West. We have also witnessed in Africa a remarkable revolution that people don't acknowledge. And that is the growth of democracy, a growth of democracy across the continent, and a rejection of military rule, a rejection of authoritarian rule, and a rejection of central planned economic systems and market-based systems. So if you look across the system and people say there are, you know, it's a continent full of conflict, the reality is that there are an increasingly large number of African countries that have moved into the democratic camp very strongly. You look at places like South Africa, Malawi, Tanzania, Namibia, Botswana, Mauritius, Senegal, Mali, Benin. We have seen a growth in democratization. We've seen a growth in free market economic policies. We've seen a liberalization of economies across the continent. And in fact, even on the conflict side, while there's no doubt that conflict remains a serious problem, there's actually been a decrease in the level of conflict in a number of countries. It's not an entirely negative story out there, and I think sometimes that story isn't gotten out there.
Another important historical event, obviously, is the election of this country's first president of African descent. He's truly a son of Africa, his father being a Kenyan. Has that made a difference?
Yes. I think it's engendered an enormous amount of goodwill for the United States across Africa, but it's also generated enormous expectations that Africa will be looked upon more favorably than it has in the past. And let me just say, this administration has, in fact, gotten off to a remarkably fast start in dealing with Africa, in demonstrating a commitment to make Africa a foreign policy priority and not a foreign policy backwater.
And finally, I have a very difficult question for you. Are you ready?
Yes.
You ready? World Cup being hosted in South Africa in 2010, the first African nation to host the World Cup. Who are you rooting for?
America. But most importantly, I'm rooting for South Africa to hold a successful World Cup. I think the fact that the World Cup is taking place in South Africa is a demonstration to the rest of the world that Africa is capable of being up there at the very, very top. South Africa will do a remarkable job. I am confident of that.
How confident are you in the U.S. team?
They've shown great skill, and this is 20 years on from where we were. I think we are a contender. I think we're a real contender.
Well, that's said like a real diplomat. So. Johnny Carson is the Assistant Secretary of State for the Bureau of African Affairs. He was kind enough to join us in our Washington, D.C. studio. Mr. Secretary, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Pleasure to be with you.
And that's our program for today. Tell Me More is produced by Brechton Booker, Jessica Deal, Monica Ivstatieva, Jasmine Garst, Lee Hill, Douglas Hopper, Arjun Hutchins, Jennifer Longmire-Wright, Emily Oxenschlager, and Jack Zahora. Our line editor is Louise Clemens. Our senior editor is Kitty Isley. Our senior producer is Alicia Montgomery. The program is directed by Rob Sachs. Our technical director is Kimberly Jones. Our theme music was composed by Underdog Entertainment with additional arrangements by Ian Honeyman. The supervising senior producer is Tashima Walker. I'm Michelle Martin, and you've been listening to Tell Me More from NPR News and the African American Public Radio Consortium. Let's talk more tomorrow.